You understand?
Father, at the close of this day and the beginning of a new week, we come before you, humbling ourselves and desiring that we would be blessed this hour. Father, we pray for the speaker of this hour and for his thoughts. We pray that your Spirit shall rest upon him, that you will help him as he presents the message of the hour. Help him that he may be filled with your love. Help him that he may be moved by your Spirit and receptive to it. Father, we ask and pray that each one of us would be moved and receptive to thy Spirit as well. May we be able to open up our hearts to listen to your word. Father, we pray for forgiveness. We know that oft times we stray from the pathway of righteousness, but we pray, Lord, that you would help us to remain strong and steadfast and endure to the end. We ask, Lord, that the gospel shall continue to grow in our hearts and our minds and become more beautiful as the days go by. We ask, Lord, that you will help us in this world to spread your gospel, to do your bidding and to do your will with our fellow man. We pray for your ancient covenant people. We pray for our Lamanite brethren in Yucatan. We ask that you will lift them up, that you will carry them close to your bosom, that you will strengthen them and give them unity of purpose and desire. Father, we ask and pray for the many needs of your children, the physical needs. We ask that you would uplift and that you would heal and bless your children. We pray for our sister Louise and ask that you would continue to touch her and cause that her days may yet be long upon the earth. We ask, Father, that you will pour out your blessing upon the missionaries. Father, as we begin this new week, we pray that your Spirit would go with us, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Whisper, steal.
Sisters. I have the honor and the privilege tonight to bring you just a small portion of an old, old story that yet is so new. When I walked into the back, I feel like, oh, you're seeing the old, old path. I think it was the second stanza in it that says, find the old, old path, 'till be ever new, for the Savior walked, or walks all the way with you. The story I have to give you is just like that. It's old, it's ancient, but it's ever new. A few months back, there was a movie that came out on cable TV at the fire station. It's called The Neverending Story. It's a cute little fairy tale. That's all it is. A cute little fairy tale. Right here is a never-ending story. It's just as new the day that man was created and first placed upon this earth. It was just as new when Moses led his people out of the land of Egypt. And because of their transgressions, they were given something a little less than the perfect law of God. The Mosaic laws became known. That doesn't change the original story. It was just as new and yet just as ancient when Christ walked the face of this land. And he fulfilled the Mosaic law. And even though during the time that the church was taken across, off the face of this land, when it was reestablished with that other angel that flew through the flight of heaven, it was just as new then as it was the day that Adam walked. Down to our time. It's ancient and it's old, but it's new. It's brand new. Like my brother this morning said, he's not going to apologize for using scriptures that we know that we've all heard before. Well, I'm not going to apologize tonight because I'm going to use some scriptures you heard this morning. I can play a tape back almost. I had to go home and change my thoughts. That's what you heard this morning. Isn't it marvelous? The Lord will get us on a train of thought. So that even though it's an old, old story and we walk an old, old path, it'll always be new and always be refreshing. Should always be exciting. And like several of our elderly brothers and sisters that Jay spoke of back in Missouri, I hope when I'm in my 80s, I have the same enthusiasm that they had when they stood up and bore their testimony of how fulfilling the gospel of Jesus Christ was within their life. There wasn't an empty moment in it. When I reach that age, I hope I'll be able to stand and share that same testimony because it meant a lot to me and it's very beautiful to me. Within our everyday life's passes, we always come to crossroads. A few years back, not too long ago, Brother Housenick had a vision, an admonition that he labeled the crossroads. Where there's a straight road and a road crossing it, and on either side was clouds and darkness and turmoil. He saw people turning and running about, being lost in utter chaos. He had some that were sitting down and saying, "Oh, what the use? We can't go on." We saw some striving to go ahead. But how simple would life be if that's all we had was one crossroad at a time? Two roads that intersect at one point. Every time I come up to a major decision that I've had to make in my life, I mean, there's an array of roads out there in front of me. It's worse than being at 7th Avenue and McDowell, at Five Points. There's roads going everywhere. Which one do I choose? I have the opportunity to choose this one over here because this seems a little easier to me right now. And it kind of goes off at a slight angle. And as far as I can see down there, it parallels this road that I should be on, but it's not quite as easy. So I may take this road. Or I look over here and here's another one that parallels that road. Or I can go left or right. Can't turn around and go back because unfortunately for us, life is a one-way street. We can't go backwards. We can go sideways sometimes. And we can wish that we could step backwards to take something back that we've said or done. Life does not give us that privilege. So we have to keep trudging forward. So I choose this little road over here to my right that seems like it's going where I want to go, and it's easy. And I get on it, and I'm trudging along, and I keep checking over here to my left on the road that I was on, and I see, sure enough, boy, I'm running right parallel with it. I climb up the top of this pass, and boy, I got it made. Now, this road I'm on is going to curve right back into the one I was on. Well, lo and behold, Jim looks down there, big old canyon down here, and the road that I wanted to be on in the beginning, which wasn't the smoothest road, but where I belonged, is somewhere over there. I see people walking on it, and now I've got a deep valley and a large mountain range to climb to get back to where I belonged and where I wanted to be. I'd like to take you over to Proverbs in the 4th chapter. I think it's 11th through the 15th verses. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. We have been taught in the way of wisdom because of the prophets that have written for us to read. We were set in the pathway of righteousness, or the right path, by these teaching of these men. It's our decision to follow that right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. This is the pathway we've been set on. If we can adhere and follow after the teachings and follow after that wisdom that was given to us. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. How do we as mortal men, with all of our wisdom that we try to obtain, how do we discern which way to go? How do we find which is the right path for us to follow? We can definitely flip a coin and narrow them down, or number them and numbers in a hat and draw a number and decide, well, I hope this is the right one. Or we can do, as our brother read to us this morning in Alma, 17th chapter, page 442, 79th to the 80th verses. We can get ourselves an instrument that will point the way for us to go. Behold, it is easy to give heed to the words of Christ, which will point you a straight course to eternal bliss. As it has been, as it was for our fathers to give heed to their compass, which was pointed unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is this not a type in this thing? For just as surely as the director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond the veil of sorrow into a far better promised land. We were pointed out to us this morning that veil, V-A-L-E, is a valley. Not a veil of darkness, but a valley. I had an occasion to go to a conference last April. And I had an interesting thing happen to me. I saw a veil of darkness. That veil of darkness is so dense that it is the blackest thing that you could ever imagine. If you've ever been in the bottom of a cave and had them turn the lights out some 150 feet down, you know what dark is. But I'm telling you, this is not as dark as what's behind the veil of darkness. In this vision, if you want to call it that, I saw a brother walk into and behind this veil of darkness. So it's just like here I see him, and here I don't. I reached in to grab him, and I grabbed his arm. And where my hand entered that darkness, my hand and my arm disappeared. A total void. Total blackness of nothingness. That is the veil of darkness. We better hope and pray that we never get to the point where we want to enter to that veil of darkness. Because the valley of sorrows is bad enough. I just like to go on to the end of the chapter because I think it's good reading. O my son, do not let us be slothful because the easiness of the way. For it was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. And the way is prepared, and if we would look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take the care of these sacred things. Yea, see that ye look to God and live. It is so easy to follow up the words of Christ. So it says. Is it so easy that we just get mundane? That we don't watch what goes on about us? Do we follow after the steps of the Israelites when they left Egypt? When they saw the power and the workings of their Heavenly Father change the Nile into blood. Part the Red Sea so they could go through it in safety and escape the armies of Egypt. And yet, they couldn't hold to the teachings that was given to them. So how much harder is it going to be for us if they haven't seen all these miraculous things we read about them to keep our wits active, keep our senses alive, that we could follow that compass. Our brother read today that the reason why they got lost, Lehi and his family got lost in the wilderness, is because their faith diminished. So the compass evidently, I don't know if it went pointed to each other or just stopped or if it just sat there and spun. But that's beside the point. The point is, because of their unbelief or their lack in faith, what was given to them stopped working. So we have to keep the hones out. And we have to keep sharpening our senses like they do a knife that's being used constantly. That we may not fall into this lackadaisical attitude that all is well. And that it is fine. We're all fine. And life is just going to go on. And when we get to the end, regardless of what we do, that we're going to have eternal life. It's not so. I'd like to turn over to 1 Peter. Second chapter, 21st verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. What can we use to help sharpen our senses? We can use the example that was set for us. Christ came and set up for us an example, a pattern. Some forms of work, they call them jigs. Because you set the jig up there and this machine will run it, and over here it will make exact copy of what was in this machine. He is our example. He is our pattern. He is our home to keep our senses sharp. Another example we can find in John, in the 13th chapter, 15th verse. I'll start at the 13th verse. This is Christ speaking to his disciples. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I do, or that ye should do as I have done unto you. Is one form of an example that Christ did. And it looks simple. He just washed these guys' feet for them. Made them feel better. They come in from a long, hard day's journey. Got their feet washed and they kick back, relax in their easy chairs. Somebody's going to bring them a supper. That's what it looks like on the surface to a lot of people. But if you look at the words, and you read it slowly, he set the example for two things. One is humility. He's the master, and yet he washed their feet. The other one is the act of love. He showed to his 12 that he loved them by caring for them. Two examples in one little short phrase. What are the examples that Christ set for us? Our brother pointed out a couple of them this morning. One was baptism. Set the example for us, not only how to be baptized, but what to be baptized for. The set the example for many, many things. Each and every time that I read the scriptures or I hear somebody read them, I pick up something new. Man, I've read that 10 times in the last 2 days, but I never quite looked at it that way. It's another way that the never-ending story says new. There is nothing that we face in our lifetime that there cannot be an answer found right here in these two books. Somewhere in these two books is the answer to any and every problem that we can humanly possibly face. Where do we go from here? We have the example set for us. Do we just kind of lackadaisically follow after this example? Say, well, our example was set for us, and now we just, as we will, slow and easy, follow after that. We have our compass in this hand. We have the words of Jesus Christ. We have the examples in this hand. We can hold these two together and we can find our way anywhere. Regardless of how smoky it gets, regardless of how many intersections are thrown in our way, no matter if we have to go around a mountain, over a mountain, through the mountain, we can find our way. Christ told us that if we loved Him, we would keep His commandments. After we have accepted Him and accepted His example, and we've taken His compass and we're going through our life, we can't stop there. We have to keep pushing forward. Definitely can't turn around and go back. So what much else we do that'll help us keep going forward? In 3 Nephi, page 628, 4th chapter, 41st verse through the 44th verse, he told us this. This is just prior to his coming to this continent. Oh, all ye that have been, are spared, because you are more righteous than they, will ye not turn unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say to you, if you will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, my arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, he will I receive. And blessed are those who come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things in them are. We're told that we have do one thing other than come to Christ here. Our brother pointed out so well today of repentance. Throughout the scriptures, and probably the next two scriptures I read, you will hear the word repentance. Do we repent once when we're baptized? Or from that point on, throughout the rest of our lives, do we have to remain in that form of humility? Of repentance. I believe we do. I don't think that any of us could repent only once and then make it through life without any more trouble. I know I can't. Let's go over to the 636th page in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, 66 through 68. Behold, I give unto you the law, the commandment of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Now we have one other thing we must do to keep our compass activated, to keep it so it'll keep working. We must approach the Lord with a contrite spirit and a broken heart. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to turn over to 2 Nephi real quick. Page 162. Second Nephi, the 13th chapter. Starting with the 22nd verse. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this is the case, have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism of water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Throughout the scriptures, we are told to repent, to have remission of our sins. Almost every commandment that was given by Christ, attached to it somewhere, is those four little words. Repent and come unto me. Or repentance of some form. We have a building block to start out with. It's in Hebrews in the 6th verse, I believe it is. Our 6th chapter. Let's find it. About the first four verses. I'm just going to pick the words out. These are the building blocks of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Things that we build on. Not to be forgotten, but always added to. Repentance must be the mortar that holds all these blocks together. So the foundation of repentance, of having faith, be baptized, have the hands laid upon your head, receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Then it goes on to talk about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. But repentance is the mortar. Faith is the building blocks. And knowledge is the paint of the building that we build. Let me go on back in the 2 Nephi, if I can find where I left off. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witness of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gone into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Got our feet onto this straight and narrow path. As I mentioned before, we've got a lot of crossroads that enter in. As I mentioned before, we have to do something to keep that power going to that compass. And here is his answer. But I say unto you, no, or nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ. An unshaking faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must pass forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. That's quite a statement there. Perfect brightness of hope. Hope for what? Hope? Faith? A hope that our faith stays strong, that we might withstand all of life's little arrows and darts. Jay Priest, in the conference, I think a year ago, of the adversary's darts that is thrown at us. You start out with a little tiny dart that kids throw at a dart game. And when he ended, he had this arrow about this long with a broad head, just four razor blades on it. It's a weapon that's hard to imagine the amount of damage that something shot from a string can do. We must have the hope, if we follow what we've been taught, the wisdom that was given to us, that we'd be like Ruth, that we have the feathers or the cloak of the Lord over us that'll help ward off these not so cute little darts. Because they are a formidable weapon. Very piercing. And if we love God, we should love all men. Wherefore, if he shall pass forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and enduring unto the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. We must stay steadfast and hold on to that rod of iron till we reach our goal. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way nor name given under heaven by where men can be saved in the kingdom of God. We must be strong in our faith. We must follow his commandments, and we must work within those commandments that we might keep our compass powered to where we keep pointing in the direction that we should go, that we might keep our feet on that pathway, that we might not step off into darkness, or step off and fall into a valley. I'd like to go back to Proverbs one more time, the fourth chapter, 25th to 27th verse. This is sound wisdom, sound advice. It's my prayer that each and every one of us can do what is said here. Let thine eyes look right on and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. That's not letting your eyes veer right or left. That's keeping them straight in front of you. So if there's anything thrown in your way, you won't stumble and fall. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder where you're going to put your feet. Think about each step that you make. And be careful where you place them. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. Let us not turn to the right, or turn to the left. Let's keep our compass powered and keep it running. And let's follow that straight and narrow. And not go.
Our Father which art in heaven, again we thank you for the time spent here and for the fruitfulness of it. We do pray that the words which we have heard this day will sink deep within our hearts. And then indeed, Father, we will always be careful where we step in life, what we do and think, and where we walk. We ask, Lord, again that you would forgive us for our shortcomings, that you would help us to overcome them. Help us, Father, to be wise in all the decisions that we make. Father, we pray again for the work of the gospel in these last days, for the goodwill of your kingdom, Father. We do pray that indeed you shall bless your church and your people. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen the faith of all your children. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.